Hello, and thank you for listening to this message from the heart of Pastor Eddie Paul Morris. To see what's happening at Deer Valley Worship Center, check out our website, dvwc.church.
Just pursuing, and sometimes you see stuff that Matt puts on Facebook, and you're like, is this for real? Is this like, you know, sometimes it's like the Jerry Springer, not you, but it's so like, you're like, that is just so crazy, but it's because we live in America, and we don't understand the dynamics of another country, and so I want everyone to stand, and I want you to honor Matt and give him a big hand clap for the gift of God that's upon his life. Great man of God.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's such an honor. Thank you, Pastor. You're such a blessing to me. This friendship that God set up years before we were both doing what we're doing, and look at what God's done with our lives. It's amazing that God's done great things in our lives. I remember your pastor before he was married. So look at that miracle. That's a huge miracle. So I just want to thank you, though, for always welcoming me here. I feel like I'm family here, and I feel like it's way beyond. It's a kingdom family thing, and I feel at home here. You know, this is the first church that I've been in the United States in 2019. So it's so nice to be here and worship with you. Your worship is so awesome, and I'm so thankful to be here. I love you guys. You know, I don't know if you understand how lost you get. Like, not spiritually lost, but lost, disconnected from your own culture, removed to the other side of the world in Asia where things are different. Things are downright weird sometimes. And, you know, you really feel disconnected. You feel lost. You feel like you've lost yourself. And, you know, the Bible says it's okay to lose yourself for him, right? But I'm really doing it out there, and it's nice to come home and feel reconnected and feel like there's people here that they're like me, and they love me, and I don't have to, you know, be somebody I'm not. I can just be what God called me to be and feel accepted. And thank you for being that. Thank you for being a stable, solid church and healthy church. You're healthy, right? Amen. So, hallelujah. I love you guys. And we'll pray for the sick. That's another form of healthy, but I'm talking about spiritually healthy. You support, you stand for the Lord, and you aren't backsliding, and you stand with your pastor. Not get, yes, amen. Oh boy, I love it when God starts.
Okay, did I turn it off? Don't hold the bottom.
I held the bottom. Okay, don't hold the bottom. Okay, all right. Okay, I'm just gonna move on. Okay. So. Yeah. Okay. Now that I've got to recover, why don't we play the little video I have? It's like a little short 3-minute video.
I'm the director and co-founder of Extreme Mercy International. And I just wanted to introduce you to my beautiful wife, Emily, and my son, Elijah. We're missionaries in the Philippines. And I just wanted to show you some of the exciting things God's doing in the Philippines and around the world. We hope that this video encourages you and blesses you, that God is alive and moving in the nations. But we can't do this alone. We need your prayer support and your financial support to continue going to the nations and moving in God's power all around the world. If you'd like to support us, please visit our website at extrememercy.org. And thank you so much for your support.
Thank you.
I just wanted to thank Deer Valley Worship Center for being such a great support to our ministry. We love you. Thank you so much.
So, yes. Thank you so much for, thank you for supporting us. And thank you for being a part of our ministry. The stuff we're doing is not alone because you're part of the team. And, you know, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be about what did Matt do or what did Pastor Eddie Paul do. It's also going to be God thinks corporately. And the reward that we're going to receive in heaven is because of you supporting us too. You're going to receive the rewards also. And I cannot emphasize how much heaven is real and that God is going to reward you for what you've done in this life. And when you give and when you pray for us, it helps. You know, there's times that I shouldn't even be alive right now, but your prayers probably kept me alive. And I'll tell a story about that later on when I preach. But, I mean, I'm thankful to be breathing sometimes because there's things that happen that's not what you see every day in America. And I'm thankful to God for what he's doing. And I'm thankful to be here today because, you know, last year I had an encounter where I probably might not be here if it wasn't for you guys praying. So anyways, I also just want to quickly acknowledge my dear friend Joshua and Emmy there. Their friends there in the third row. They're missionaries. They're in the Philippines too with me. It's a divine appointment that God, he's from Arizona and we ran into each other through a series of divine appointments, and he holds his children's church in our ministry center in Davao City. So, and we're here in Arizona at the same time. It's really cool. So anyways, I just want to honor them really quick. So, but since the last time you saw me, I was here last February. Was anybody here last February when I was here? You guys, okay, most of you were. And since the last time you saw me, I've been to 6 nations, 3 for the first time. So God is, you know, you might feel like nothing's happened in the last year, but there's things happening. God's doing and God's moving and shaking. Things are happening in the world. I mean, I've been watching God do great things. I don't know if you saw some of the pictures there, but God has opened up doors in the government. I was able to meet mayors and pray for mayors. I mean, go into the mayor's office and prophesy over the mayor. I mean, things that you would never, I never thought about doing that before. I didn't even want, I mean, like, God just got, wow, I'm in the mayor's office. Would you please pray for him? And then I just start prophesying. I don't, it just starts coming out. And I'm like, whoa, this is like really cool. This is me or somebody else. This is amazing. God is moving in the nations. And he's not limited by denominational walls anymore. The denominational walls are so silly anyways. Why do we think about that? I mean, it says in the last days there will be a people that have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And, you know, we know certain denominations have really, really, that defines them. And I was able to go into I was in a Presbyterian church and preached in a Presbyterian church. Hello, I am a charismatic, radical, off the rails sometimes, a little bit too radical. And I preach in a Presbyterian church, and the Holy Spirit exploded. And everybody got knocked out in the Holy Spirit. And they were in the altars for hours. They wouldn't even get out of the altars. They're on their faces. The youth are on their faces in a Presbyterian church. Hello. Hallelujah. God is moving, and he doesn't want to be restricted by this anymore. And if we're willing to go, he's willing to use us. And, you know, you have to remember, I'm just like you. I wasn't born with a halo over my head. You know, I had dirty diapers. I'm just like you. You know, I'm a sinner just like you that God saved. He saved me when I was 6 years old. Thank the Lord, or I would have been worse than any of you all. You know, if I didn't get saved when I was 6, it would have been really bad for the world. You know, I would have been like, the guy said, you save him now or it's going to be bad news. But so I was thinking, how many want to be saved earlier? I'm like, yeah, I wish I was saved earlier so I wouldn't have been in so much trouble. Maybe I'd save when I was 5. But what I want to say is, in this day and age, there's so many people that have watered down the gospel in order to build their church, to get more numbers because it's more comfortable let's be more politically correct in our church and we'll build our numbers up and we'll just be we can't be like that. It's the last days, folks. In Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. So how can we have a gospel that we're trying to have a gospel that's divided from the power? And you can't have a gospel that's divided from the power because the gospel is the power. There is no gospel without the power. The power of God must be manifested when we preach the gospel. We should be expecting signs, wonders, and miracles when we preach. And if we're not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles when we preach, we are not even preaching the gospel. The gospel is power. The word of God here is a Greek word, dunamis. And I'm sure many of you know the word dunamis. It means power. It means miraculous power, might, and strength. And in the definition of the usage is physical power, force, might, ability, energy. It means powerful deeds, deeds showing power, marvelous works. That's dunamis. And the gospel is dunamis. And when we preach the gospel, we should be expecting dunamis and walking in dunamis. Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. It's dunamis. The Holy Spirit wants you to walk in dunamis power and not be ashamed of any of the power. There's so many politically correct churches that are ashamed of the Holy Spirit moving. Well, they're not even in the kingdom, I don't believe. I'm sorry. Where are they going to be on the judgment day? They're not preaching the gospel. The good news is the power. That is the good news. And I love our brothers and sisters. And I'm preaching in churches that are not considered radical, of course. And I bring unity to the churches, but I bring the truth when I preach. And I'm not afraid to walk into a Presbyterian church and preach the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't afford to leave them behind anymore. They need the power. And they've been left. They're left behind. We need to bring them, you know, upgrade them in their faith. Get them updated to the latest whatever, you know, the version, you know, 8.0 or whatever we do nowadays. You know, we always bring everything at the verse. But we need to get them upgraded in their faith. Preach the gospel to them. And the power of the gospel. Hallelujah. Dunamis power is what we need to walk in. You know, the gospel is not, you know, they try to make the gospel into something that's just a mental decision. Okay, I've intellectually made you understand the faith in Jesus. Well, it's not intellectual. It's not mental assent. It doesn't come from the mind. It comes from faith. It's not a logical decision to follow Jesus. It's actually illogical to follow Jesus if you go by the world standard. You can't be smart enough to convince somebody to follow Jesus. I used to be that guy. I would go down to Mill Avenue in Tempe and argue with people about the gospel. I mean, I was smart. Okay, I was a chess player from the time I was 8 years old. I could win any argument. My poor wife still has to deal with that side of me sometimes. But I mean, I just always win. I always find a way to get the last word. And I would go down there and I'd preach to these college kids that were lost. And I would sit there and debate with them about the gospel. And they would say, what about this? And I would say, oh, what this? And I would always have an answer. And I would always leave there winning the conversation to try to evangelize them. And they would be, what a jerk. And they would never receive Jesus because of my bad attitude, because I had to win because I was so full of pride when I was evangelizing. You can't win people to Jesus through that method. It doesn't work. And I've seen some of the leading authors in evangelism. I read their books and said, wow, this guy's really a famous, big name guy. And I said, wow, he's evangelizing. I'm going to go to California and see him evangelize. He was on the street using the same method, just making people look like idiots. And I went, that is not the way it works. I've already graduated from that. You got to love people into the kingdom. You got to show them the love of God. You got to show them the power of God and the love of God. And if you don't show them the power of God, you don't love them. You got to bring the power. If you don't pray for them and expect God to heal them, then that's not love. I'm sorry. You can't love people if you don't have the gospel, which is the power. That's how we have the love. That the love of God comes with that power, with the dunamis power. It comes. The gift of love comes into us, and we can walk in love, and we can bring the love of God to people with power. That's what sets us apart. You know, we're worried about, what if the Islamic people take over America? What if this and that? Why don't we go reach them for Jesus? God's bringing them here. They're the ones that are walking into the ambush. They're not. They think they're going to take over. They're walking into an ambush. We can love them into the kingdom. We're so worried, oh, well, they're coming in by the droves across the border and through the airplane, whatever. What? They're coming to get saved. That's what they're here for. They don't even know it yet. Hallelujah. You know, we're all these political things. You know, I remember Smith Wigglesworth wouldn't even read the newspaper. You know, Smith, I don't know if you know who Smith Wigglesworth was. He was this Holy Spirit-filled plumber that would just do radical things for God. And he saw the dead raised several times, and he wouldn't even read the newspaper. He's like, I'll just read my Bible. He wouldn't even read Christian books. He's like, I'll just read my Bible. And you know, I think we'd all be better off, right? If we just read our Bible and stopped checking the websites that say all this, or listen to the radio, and just be in faith that God's in control. We don't need to know what happened with, you know, this, you know, this investigation and this and all this nonsense. Just let be in God's hands and expect God to be in control and be in the kingdom and not worry about so much about all the national events. We pray, we vote, we do all that, yeah, but don't be obsessed with it. Leave it in God's hands and do what we're called to do, which is preach the gospel. Display the power of God to people. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. That's where it's at. I mean, when you go out on, you know, 10 a.m. on, was it Saturday? Is that right? Go out and show them the gospel, the power of God. The power of God is where it's at. I remember, you know, you can't convince a Buddhist by, you know, arguing with them. I remember I was in Thailand after the tsunami, the big one. 2004 was the big Boxer Day tsunami, wiped out 200,000 people's lives. And my dad and I went to Thailand, and we were there doing disaster relief, and we were building homes and doing help cleaning up the beach. Oh my goodness! There was one morning we cleaned the beach off, and it was every day the Thai would come up and cover the beach and then go back out. There'd be stuff left over. We'd find like even a passport of somebody that perished in the storm. One time, there was a pickup truck there that wasn't there before. I mean, it was wow. The power of the ocean's amazing, but we were loving on the people. We met this old man who had just, because of the love of Jesus, because people were loving on him and helping him, he had lost his house. He and his wife survived. They were old. And he was blind in one eye. And he had just received Jesus, like maybe a week before. He was a baby Christian, old man, baby Christian, blind in one eye. And his wife was ridiculing him. Why would you be a Christian? Why would you, you know, look at, everything's wiped out. You've got one eye. You know, she's ridiculing this man. And then I said, well, let's pray for you. And I laid hands on him, covered up the eye that was, he said, was blind. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command this eye to open, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I let go of his eye. And he saw about 50% improvement in the one eye instantly. And then I said, well, let's pray again. So I pray again. In the name of Jesus, I command this eye to open. The second time, he said, I can see the pattern in your shirt. I had this really loud shirt. He could see all the detail. I can see. He got totally healed. His eye got healed right there. It was awesome. And then not only did that happen, his wife, seeing the miracle right in front of her, she instantly said, okay, I will receive Jesus. I will be born again. So the power of the gospel, the power, that's where That's where it is. That's how we win people to Jesus. When you walk in power. You know, in 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. We can talk all day, and that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is power. Of course, we have to have good doctrine. We need to know the word of God. We need to have all those things. But when it comes down to it, the kingdom is power. It consists of power. And we need to walk in power. And if you aren't walking in power, I want to pray for you today at some point. Not yet, but pray for you to get some power and activate that in your lives. And well, of course, we'll pray for the sick too. I always do that. That's just what I do. I just love it. So, but in Mark 16:20, it talks about the disciples. They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked in them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Signs and wonders confirm the proclamation of the gospel. That's how it should be. When you proclaim the gospel, there should be accompanying signs. That's when people start coming to Jesus. I was at, I don't know if you saw those big crowds in some of those pictures. I was at the uprising, we call it, and we have to tame that word down in some countries. United Prayer Rising is what it really is. And I got to go to Indonesia this last January, and we had thousands of people in a Muslim country praying in tongues and crying out for their country. Awesome, you know, outdoor. We actually had to move the event because there were bomb threats from the Muslims, but we still held the event. It was awesome. And we were able to pray together and fast and pray for Indonesia and prayed for 35. There was 35 countries that came from around the world to pray, a world prayer meeting. We prayed for America. Hallelujah. There's people in those countries where they're persecuted. They're praying for you. Hallelujah. That's awesome. Our minds get so small if we just stay in one little box all the time. You know, it's like we go to work, you know, we go to Walmart, we go home, or, you know, your little world. You don't see what God's doing all over the place. He's moving all over the place. And you can't limit your own theology. You can't let your own theology be shaped by what you see. You have to look at what God's really doing. He's doing things that you may not have seen before, and be open to those things, because just because you haven't seen them doesn't mean it's not happening. And even me, I'm being shaped by, you know, I'm being shaken up when I see stuff like these countries where they're not supposed to be really seeing miracles, and they're seeing miracles. I mean, God's moving in Muslim countries now. I mean, there's Muslims that are coming to Jesus. I mean, they're having dreams and visions and persecuting people. They're persecutors, and then God will visit them in a dream, almost like the Apostle Paul getting knocked down and blinded. That kind of experience, it's happening to the Muslims, and soon those people will be our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. Those ones, and it's amazing what God's doing. I was at one of the prayer gatherings in southern Mindanao, which is southern and western Mindanao, where I live, it's dangerous. There's Muslims. There's dangerous Muslims. There's even the mainstream media, which I don't believe much of what they say, but they actually got one story right. They actually have reported that ISIS, now that they're getting crushed in the Middle East, they're fleeing to the Philippines. And actually, I posted on Facebook recently a story about it. It's really happening. ISIS is actually sending their people to recruit people in the Philippines. And they're actually active in the Philippines. So we have to be careful in the Philippines. There's martial law where I live. But they're not even as much of a problem as the communist rebels, which are in the eastern part of the island. And that's where I do a lot of my ministry, is in the eastern part of the island. And all over the Philippines, the communists, they call them the NPA, New People's Army, whatever. It's old. They're like 50 years old. It's old. It's not new. But the communists are trying to take over the country. The Muslims are trying to take over the country. And then we got the Philippine government who, you know, usually they're the good guys. And sometimes, you know, they're the opposite of the good guys. So anyways, God is moving, though, in the Philippines. And God is, in spite of all the rebellion, we're seeing miracles in these hot spots. We're seeing God move in these places that are not so safe. And we had a big prayer gathering in General Santos City. And on the way home from this, we had thousands of people. I got to speak to like a couple thousand people. It was awesome. And on the way home, I had a lot of the teams, the leaders in my car, my older car. Hallelujah. I'll get to that later. My older car. I had a girl sitting right next to me in the front seat of my, I have an old Ford Expedition that's, it's hallelujah, it saved my life already. I'll tell that story. But I had this girl sitting next to me, and the whole thing's full of people and luggage. You know, Expedition can fit a lot of people, especially if they're Filipinos. They go double they can like share seats and stuff. So it's really amazing. You can fit way more. Americans don't fit, it's amazing. Americans, I don't know what it is. I don't know. But Filipinos, they fit in a lot easier. So I had this, maybe it's our diet. I don't know. But anyways, I'm American. Don't get offended. Okay, I'm American too. Okay, so anyways, there was this girl sitting next to me, and then I'm driving, okay? I'm driving in the Philippines. It's not like here where, you know, people can, you know, you can kind of glance off the road. You got to be like focused, laser focused on the road. I'm going down a mountain. There's crazy stuff always happening on the roads. And they tell me, Kuya Matt, Kuya's older brother, that's like saying brother or sister, you know, churchy talk, you know. Kuya Matt, this girl lovely next to you, she needs healing. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And they said, she had a dental procedure done, and the dentist messed up. So they were trying to straighten her jaw, and they made her jaw actually move backwards and pinched off part of her breathing. Like her, I don't know what you call it. I'm not a doctor, but you know, a normal air passage in your throat is about two fingers like this, is what they explained to me. And because of this mistake, her breathing was like this, like a little tiny passage. And she was afraid that when she sleeps, she would die. Like she would have such a hard time breathing. Yeah, like sleep apnea from the dentist mistake, and they were going to have expensive surgery to correct it. And she came by faith to the prayer gathering, and she was in my car riding down the hill, and I'm praying for her, and I'm like, I start praying. I'm like, Lord, I pray you heal her in the name of Jesus. And the Lord's like, says, just pray for her when you get to Davao. So Davao is where I live. It's the city there. And I'm driving down the mountain, and then I told her, I'm going to pray for you when we get to Davao. And then we're in a rush to get one girl to the airport. We got all this stuff. I'm just driving. I'm getting distracted. I finally get the girl to the airport. I get this girl and all the team to their hotel. It's guys and girls. I get them to their hotel. I'm unloading the bags. And the Lord reminded me, you're supposed to pray for her. I'm out in the street. I'm not in church, okay? I'm out in the street. I'm unloading baggage from the back. You know, yeah, it's hot. It's sweaty. It's dirty. It's not your normal paved road. It's all destructed. You know, it's not the perfect atmosphere for healing, okay? It's in the street, okay? And the Lord says, pray for her. And I just go, okay. She's holding a backpack on her back. And I just go, I need to pray for you right now. Can I pray for you? And she said, yes. Okay, this girl's jaw is sunk in, like, backwards. You can see it. Her facial features are like, her jaw is, I mean, she doesn't look ugly, but you can see she's got some sag in her jaw because her jaw is backwards. And I lay hands on her in the street. I say, in the name of Jesus, I pray you start, just heal her. And she gets knocked out in the Holy Spirit in the street. Okay? Like she's falling down into the street with a backpack on. I have to grab her and hold her up. She's heavy because she's got a heavy backpack on. And she's tiny, but the backpack made her heavier. And I'm like going, wow, I need to work out more. She's falling over. And I'm like trying to keep her from falling in the street. She's knocked out in the Holy Spirit in the street. So I literally I get another guy to help me carry her to the back of my Expedition. I kind of gently lay her into the back of the Expedition. I get in the front seat. The other gentleman gets in the front seat, and we just start praying. She's knocked out. I don't know what to do. And I was praying for her. And I'm just sitting there like, okay, it's getting hot. I better turn the car on, turn the air conditioner on. We're just idling there. And the Holy Spirit's working on her. And then all of a sudden she starts manifesting a demon. In my car, she starts manifesting a demon in my car. Like she's like, Kuya Matt, I feel something choking me. And I command the spirit to leave. And after about 5 minutes of praying, it left. And then I pray for her again, and she gets knocked out again. She's knocked. I mean, I'm just sitting there in the car. God's having a revival in the streets. It's not in the church, okay? It's in my car. And so she's knocked out. And then finally, she kind of like, Expeditions are big, you know, so she kind of like, turns into an altar, like she kneels towards the front, and she's kneeling in the back, and all she said, Kuya Matt, I feel God's touching my jaw. And I said, okay. And I'm watching her jaw starts growing. Like, her jaw started growing and pushing forward. I watched her jaw transform right in front of me, watching this. Everything just started moving, and her whole face changed shape. I mean, I couldn't recognize her. I did not know her face. I mean, I was like, that's the same girl that, I watched God heal her jaw. And of course, her air passage was healed as well. And this is not the end of it. She went home and went to the doctor and got an examination, and she showed me the medically documented miracle of what her condition was before. And the doctor said, now she doesn't need anything. She has no more symptoms. You know, doctors say it weird. No more symptoms of this problem. You know, God healed her, and it was medically verified by Filipino doctors. Hallelujah. Praise God. God wants to do miracles, not just in the church. He can do it out in the street. We don't need to be limited by the church walls. We need to be out doing outreaches and praying for people, watching miracles bust open everywhere. Hallelujah. You know, and I got this verse, 2 Thessalonians 3. It says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. You know, this verse really applies to me. Please pray for me, because there are evil, wicked and evil men that I need to be delivered from and have been delivered from. Hallelujah. Let me just quickly try to set the stage for this next story. So 6 years ago, there was a big typhoon that hit the Philippines, Category 5. Okay, I know that there was a terrible Category 5 hit Florida recently, and it just wiped out the entire neighborhood. There was like nothing left. That kind of thing happened in the Philippines 6 years ago, and I was put in the middle of that situation. And through meeting people, I met a pastor whose wife died in the storm, and we helped. He was a 70-year-old man, and we helped rebuild his church. This is like super accelerated version of the story, so I can get to the next point. So we helped rebuild his church better than before. It became the meeting place for like interfaith fellowships. Like, all the pastors would come there to that church because it was big and nice, and we had Americans and Germans and all these cool volunteers helping build it, so it's nice. And it's still like metal GI sheeting roof, but it's nice, it's big. So we made this place where we have a great relationship with this pastor. And because of that, I had Bible League, which is they distribute Bibles in the local language. I became good friends with a guy from Bible League. Different story. It was tying them together. So he said, if you can get like 25 pastors to come together, I'll give Bibles. I said, okay, I'll get more than that. We'll get more, you know? And I got in contact with this pastor in Baganga, the pastor that was 70 years old, his wife died, and his daughter, who's like this, like the associate pastor. I said, I want to bring Bible League here and bring Bibles to all the pastors. Can we get pastors to come? And they got 40 pastors to come from different churches, from three different towns, came together to get the Bibles. So I'm just accelerating this so you can get to the meat of the story, okay? So I brought my expedition loaded with Bibles, probably like 700 Bibles in that thing. I mean, I just loaded it. It was just me and Bibles, okay? So, I mean, it was loaded with Bibles. And it was a fairly uneventful trip going there. But when I got there, we distributed like 2,500 Bibles with all the vehicles to 40 churches in there. Okay, that you have to understand, that's amazing, because these people don't have Bibles, because 6 years ago, every single book was wiped out. There's no literature in the whole area. I mean, no, not even books, the school books, all that is just completely white. So Bibles were like, they don't have Bibles, and we brought Bibles. It's awesome. And the enemy was not happy about this, okay? We had not happy at all. And, you know, I remember Dennis Kramer prophesying that he saw me, you know, being buried, and the devil wanted to kill me. Well, this was the moment. He saw it way ahead of time, okay? And this was the moment. I listened to that prophet and said, hey, that really lines up with the devil trying to kill me. I think this really fits. So. We got the Bibles out, and the Bible League team went home a different way, back to Davao. And the Lord spoke to me, you need to go to Mati, which is straight south. And the pastor, the old man, was now 76 years old. And he wasn't at the Bible distribution. He was at the hospital, and coming back from the hospital. So I felt like I need to go meet him, and I was going his way to meet with him. So I took the pastor's daughter, who was kind of like almost functioning as senior pastor, because he's so old, his legs stopped working. He couldn't even walk. And I hadn't seen him since that happened. I wanted to pray for him. I wanted to, you know, pray for his healing. So I'm waiting. I went to the family farm in this place called Tarragona, which is, I always got a creepy feeling every time I went to Tarragona, honestly. And I didn't put my finger on it. It just was like, ew, what is this yucky feeling here? Like, it doesn't feel safe. And so I went to his son's farm there in Tarragona, and it's about 2 hours south, waiting for Pastor Puzon to come. Pastor Proceso Puzon, that's his name. And he came, and I waited for a while. He came, he arrived in a little tricycle from the hospital, met me at the farm, and he was really tired. You know, this old man riding in a tricycle. I can't explain what a tricycle is unless you see it. His legs weren't working. And then shortly after he arrived, this woman comes screaming at us. Ah! She's making no sense. She's in total terror. I don't know if you've seen somebody that's stricken by terror, but this was terror. I mean, she could not even come up with words in her language to make sense of what was going on. She was screaming. Nobody could understand her. She couldn't make sense in English, couldn't make sense in Bisaya, which is a language that I'm learning there. She didn't make any sense. And she's screaming, ah, ah, ah. And finally, we calmed her down enough to, she said, the NPA are coming. The NPA are coming. The communist rebels are coming. So what had happened was she had been stopped down the road. They had taken over the highway, these rebels with their guns, and they set up a roadblock on the highway and start robbing vehicles and grabbing people. And, you know, they act like animals, okay? They'll do terrible things to women, and you know they rob every, and they'll kidnap foreigners. They love to kidnap foreigners. So I was. This woman comes screaming, "The NPA are coming!" So they had literally grabbed her arm, and she broke away and ran to warn her family. This was the pastor's daughter-in-law, and she was came running, and she was so terrified that she saw me there. She was like, "What is he doing here? They're going to get him," you know. I became aware of the severity of the situation. I turned my vehicle around, and I was like, I got to get out of here. And I had to get the pastor. So I was like, let's get Pastor Puzon in my car. So we carry him into the car and practically drop him inside. The two daughters come tumbling over each other. Their shoes are literally flying through the air in the car. I watched shoes flying. And then I was like, it's just like this. It's like all time was slowing down. You know, like that feeling like, this is scary. And then I'm waiting for the others to get in the car, and the Lord just says, go now. And I took off. I started driving. And I get down the road, and I'm trying to get away. I notice my gas gauge is low, and there's a gas station not too far up the road. And I go and get gas, and this is a gasoline engine. And I get to the gas pump, and the guy, I'm trying to hide behind my tinted windows so they don't see this, because I don't know how widespread this attack is. And the guy puts diesel in my gasoline. The gasoline attendant puts diesel in my engine. So my expedition, they put diesel in the, you know, and that, if anybody knows anything, you don't put diesel in a gasoline engine. So I'm literally, okay, I'm escaping the situation. I don't know how bad it is. And then I find out that just seconds after I left, they were literally on the farm when I left. These guys, seconds after I left, they came, five guys with guns came and surrounded the son, the guy that owned the farm, surrounded the guy with five guns pointed at him. They robbed him of everything, including his clothes. Could you imagine being robbed of even your clothes? Like, take your clothes off, you know, it's a way of humiliating them so they won't fight back. So they take the clothes. Thankfully, the woman that was screaming hid in the jungle and got her kids and was hiding in the jungle, and they didn't find her. But five guys with guns came and surrounded the pastor's son, and he was held hostage, and we escaped by seconds. Think about how serious that is. That's why I need you praying for us. Now, thankfully, I was able to get, my car ran okay until I got them home, the pastor and the pastor's daughter, in Baganga, which is 2 hours north. And then I just kept going because I didn't know I didn't know how bad it was. I'm like, I got to get out of this area. I'm going to take a wide berth and go a totally different way home. My car starts running really bad after Baganga, and I'm like, what is going on with this thing? It's like, chugga, chugga, chugga. I'm like, what is wrong with my vehicle? And I limped it to the next place that had like a somewhat of a hotel, and I stayed there for the night, and I was like, man, what's wrong with my car? It's not running right. And then I finally get another phone call, like, okay, he was the guy was held hostage for 1 hour, but because we notified the military, they responded, and the guy was released. Thank God the pastor's son was released safely, was not hurt. It was a miracle. But in the same story, though, there was a policeman that was shot in that encounter. Like, they were out for blood. These guys were really out there shooting people. They were really robbing. But God protected me. And I got my car, I got my SUV to Beast League. It was way up north. Spent the night there, calmed down. In the morning, I left early in the morning, and I was alone. I had my SUV, and I was alone, and I was going another way down a mountain road, going to Davao. And I don't know if you know about diesel, but it runs a lot hotter than gasoline. And my engine overheated, and the hose blew off the radiator in the jungle, and I had to go. I'm not a mechanic, so I had to sit there and figure this out. Okay, what happened to my car? It's overheated. There's no water in it. Find the hose is blown off. Okay, I saw how it's delaminated. I cut off part of the hose, put it on. Like, I have no water. Where am I going to get? And I had to go hiking down the mountain to the river and draw water and bring it up to I'm like, you know what? If I was ever not a missionary, I'm definitely a missionary now. This is the real thing right here. I'm going down the mountain and pulling water for my... Okay, I'm a missionary. I'm definitely the real thing. Not that I had any doubt about it, but at that moment, it was like, okay, this is really solidifying that I'm a missionary. This is quite an encounter. Running from rebels and drawing water from the jungle, this is the real thing. So thankfully, long story short, I got my vehicle home. Everything was... The mechanic said, hey, there's diesel in the engine. Oh, that's what's wrong with it. Okay, I didn't know that. So God got me home safely. And you guys are praying for me, and I know it, because I could be dead right now if it wasn't for God protecting me. And I'm thankful for that. And then in the middle of all those miracles, you know, I remember, you know, Dennis Kramer again prophesied that I would have a four-wheel drive. And I needed a four-wheel drive. And hallelujah, I just want to announce to you that you already probably know that God provided me a four-wheel drive pickup, and I have a beautiful four-wheel drive pickup that runs on diesel, so I don't have to worry about the guy putting diesel in. You know, it's awesome, and I'm able to use it, and I'm so excited that actually God has protected me, and God has taken me all over the world. I'm not slowing down. But I want to say, you know, there's some days that I just kind of think, wow, it sure be easy to just go and not do this. This is hard. You know, I'm not trying to complain about it, but I've got a 7-year-old son and a beautiful wife, and I'm taking risks. And there's times I think, you know, I want to do something easier. This is not easy. Maybe I can go to America and be a pastor. No, that's harder. Never mind. I don't want to. That's harder than being a missionary. Let's see. Well, what can I do that's easier? No, you need to pray for your pastors too. That's harder than, maybe harder than my, maybe more dangerous too. So, but you know, I want to do something easier, like maybe be a plumber or something. That's a lot cleaner than being a pastor. And it's a lot, it pays better too. Anyways, that was a joke. Okay, for those of you that don't have a sense of humor, that was a joke. Okay, all right. But I want to say that Romans 15:18-21 says, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God." So that from Jerusalem all the way down to, I can't pronounce it, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. We need to be going to these people. You know, there's people groups in the Philippines that have not heard the gospel, and or just recently heard the gospel through some of my friends. I'm going with a guy as soon as I get back. I'm leaving April 30th, and we're going to be doing a family camp for a tribe that has recently been reached for the gospel. And we'll be doing foundational doctrinal teaching to this group of people that may not even be saved. We're doing a family camp for a tribe, and it's going to be off the highway. I'm going to reach them with my nice four-wheel drive pickup. I'm going to go in there and go to a tribe that just recently heard the gospel. I know that's hard for you to understand, but there are tribes in the Philippines that have not heard the gospel or have just recently heard for the first time. I'm talking worshiping rocks yesterday, worshiping Jesus today. That kind of thing is happening in the Philippines. And we're getting Bible. We're actually working on translating the Bible for this tribe that I'm going to. That my friend is working on a Bible translation project to get it in their language. And I'm going to be going there in May when I get back. So April 30th, I leave Arizona and wherever I'm at, and I'll be back in the Philippines. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to bring Emily with me this time and Elijah. They had to stay behind. Emily's doing the anti-human trafficking ministry there during this. This is her peak time for that. So God is moving. God is doing great things. And you're partnering with me to do this. But the main thing is that we walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. We can't exist without the signs, wonders, and miracles. I am operating the Holy Spirit sometimes just to survive, but we don't have to live in just survival mode, guys. This is not, we don't have the Holy Spirit just to barely escape rebels. We have the Holy Spirit to reach them for Jesus. If they ever make the mistake of kidnapping me or capturing me, I'm going to pray for all of them to get healed. I'm going to be like, hey, I'm not going to be a victim. The devil's a victim, not me. Hallelujah. In Romans 8:37, it says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We need to walk in conquering victory. Hallelujah. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. We need to go and do and be what God calls to be all over the world. We can't just sit in a chair and expect Pastor Eddie Paul to do everything for you. You need to get out there and do it. And, you can't expect me to win the whole world to Jesus. I'm just one guy. I need you out there too. Come out. Come with me. I'll try not to get you kidnapped, okay? Just come on. Well, we need to reach, people need Jesus. There's jails full of people that need the gospel. I'm overwhelmed by the jail ministry alone. I've got all these open doors to go do jail ministry now, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do that and do what I do. I'm going to find a way somehow to do what God's, I have to listen to the Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? Because there's so much to do. I remember, when you're first starting the ministry, nobody invites you to do anything, and you're like, what? You have to almost just do your own thing, and now I'm having to decide, what can I do? There's too many opportunities. It's good, but I was like, that means I need you out there. I need more people or Filipinos to raise up and do it. You need your Americans to raise up and do it, or not racial, I'm just talking about culturally, raise up the people that are Americans that would come and raise up here. And I need you to come with me, and I need Filipinos to come with me here and preach to you guys too. Some of you need to hear the gospel. Some Americans do. I know, maybe not this church, but you need to see what God's doing, and the fire of God is being birthed in these young people in the Philippines. I remember giving a Bible to a young girl in a church. I mean, a youth, a teenager. She was overcome with joy and crying that she had a Bible in her language. You come from America where you got Bibles all over yourselves, they're collecting dust, and the youth are like, what's a Bible, in America? And I'm in the Philippines, and there's a young girl literally crying, and she said, I'm so excited to have my own Bible. I mean, what an opportunity to be the one that carries the Bible to the people that are hungry. They're hungry for a book. We actually, remember those things? We used to have books before we had all these apps. I mean, people actually, a Bible, like, it's paper. Americans, you guys remember this? We have paper books. But they're so hungry for a Bible that the girl cried. Thank you for sending me to the nations. Thank you. Thank you for helping me get Bibles in people's hands. Thank you for helping me to reach people for Jesus. Thank you. But I can't go alone. I have to have you. You have to. I of course I need you to help send me. Of course, yes. I need you to pray for me. Yes. But you need to pray and ask God, what am I supposed to do? Because you can't just be off the hook by writing a check, or by clicking a button now, or whatever you do, swiping a card. It's all high tech now. I don't know what you do. When I left 15 years ago, we still wrote checks. But I need that, yes. But God needs more than that. He needs you to get out of your seat and go reach people for Jesus. Come here on Saturday and pray for. Come out and invite people to church, or not just Saturday. Why does it have to be just Saturday? Go all every day. I remember when I was young, and I wish I was still young. I gave my youth to the kingdom. Honestly, I gave it. I'm not young anymore. I mean, I can't. I still look young, thank the Lord, but I'm not. And I'm thankful that I gave my youth to the kingdom. I mean, my youth was spent in the Philippines. I know that. And I still, God restores our, you know, all that. You know, we restores our youth like the eagle and all that. But I'm believing for more restoration. But I remember when I was younger, like I actually vowed to God for like a time when I was in master's commission that I wouldn't go to sleep unless I shared the gospel with somebody. At least one person. I remember going home, laying in bed, and going, I didn't share the gospel with somebody. I'm going to get up out of bed and go share the gospel before I go back to sleep. I remember that, those days. And I missed that those days when I was that radical. And I mean, I still am somewhat that radical, yes. But I mean, why aren't we like that? That's how we should be. It shouldn't just be for the young people. Yeah, I just turned 45. I'll admit it. I'll admit my age. I just turned 45. I'm still young enough to do it, but, you know, old enough to realize that I got to do it while I still can. So, and you all need to rise up and walk in this dunamis power. You need to walk in dunamis power to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. You're not getting younger, people. Don't waste the time you have. Start praying for revival. Start praying for people. Get out on the streets and lay hands on the sick. If you ever had dreams of being a revivalist for God, what are you waiting for? Do it now. And you're not. You're still breathing. You're not too late. We need you. The world needs you. There's a whole world out there going to hell. And that's why I can't just come back and be a plumber or be a... I'm not trying to pick on plumbers. I'm just saying that's why I don't want to come out and be a delivery driver. It sounds easy. Sounds fun. It'd be great to have a kayak on the weekends and go fly fishing and all that fun stuff. I'd love to do that. But I can't do that because there's people dying and going to hell. And if I don't go out there, who's going to go? We need you to go too. And I mean that in love. I'm not trying to rebuke anybody because I love you all. I mean that in the most loving way. But there's people here that need to be activated for the kingdom. You've been trained. You've been taught. You know the word of God. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you need to break fear off of you. Maybe something needs to shake off of you so you can do it. But we need you out there. We need you here. We need you there. Holy Spirit, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence right now, Lord. I pray, God, you would just start to break shackles off of people's minds. I pray the fear would leave in the name of Jesus. The what ifs would leave. I pray there would be just radical obedience. We begin to birth in this place. Birth the radical obedience in this place to go and preach the gospel. Lord, touch the hearts of people here in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring your dunamis, Holy Spirit, power to the people's hearts, God. There's a dryness that the enemy's tried to set up to stop this church from growing. It's trying to cut off the flow to try to abort the harvest because the water's not reaching the crops, not reaching the seed. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you would just, the Lord, just cut open the heavens and pour down into those areas and water the areas that have been cut off in this church. Water the areas that have been stopped up in this church. Lord, let the water come and bring this seed, let the seed burst forth in the name of Jesus. I pray all that stuff that's been stopped, the river would begin to flow again in this church like never before. It would no longer be a trickle, but it'd be a raging current of power, of flow of the Holy Spirit. Be released in this church in the name of refreshing, raging rapids of God's river. Come and run through this church right now. Refresh, refresh, restore. I pray the trees would begin to grow again in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. The trees would begin to grow again. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, you said, I said, yeah, I want to go, but I'm just so dry. I want to go, but I'm just so tired. But the Lord is reopening the wells. He's reopening the flow. It's coming back. Your refreshing flow is coming back to you. You said, I want to go, but I'm too tired. Refreshing's coming. Refreshing's coming. Refreshing's coming to this church. Open up. Open up. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that wanna receive some dunamis impartation of the power of the Holy Spirit, I wanna open that up for some of you to receive right now. Just lift your hands up to heaven if you want the dunamis power to be activated in your life right now. Just lift your hands. Oh, shabababababababasadarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshiyarariyeshi Just lift your hands. Stand up and lift your hands if you can. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, thank you, Jesus, for this church that stood the storms, stood the attacks of the enemy. I thank you, Lord, that right now, God, you would just reactivate the dunamis power in this church in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabba, it's alive, but it's been kicked at. It's still there's dunamis power, but it needs to be exploding out of this church in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, refresh everybody here. Refresh. Bring the dunamis power, power, power of the Holy Spirit. Power. Oh, ignite the power in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for power, 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 power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Power, 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 power in Jesus' name. Power, God, touch him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit's moving. Just be open to what God wants to do right now. Sometimes I don't even know what he's going to do next, but I just want to be open right now to what he's doing. He's about to do some more. There's more coming. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot coming, actually. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray for some people. I'm just going to lay hands on people that are still standing, and then we're going to pray for the sick after that. Just receive the power, the dunamis power. Receive the power of God right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, rabba, rabba, rabba.